Today, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, and it simply says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." How about that? Can we just like say that together? You think you got that? The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I think I love that passage because it reminds us that when we have more joy, that we will also have more strength, right? More joy equals more strength. And listen, the devil, the enemy, wants to rob you of your joy because he knows that if he can steal your joy, he can steal your, right? If you don't have joy, then you don't have the strength that you would have otherwise. So we fall into temptation, we fall into depression, we fall into so many other pitfalls because the joy of the Lord is not our strength. The joy of the Lord is not our strength. So let's look today at Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, this great passage in the book of Nehemiah. Many times when we think about the book of Nehemiah, we think about the guy that built the big wall around the city of Jerusalem. And certainly he did that, but did you know that's only like the first half of the book of Nehemiah? There's actually so much more in that book. And right after the wall is completed around the city of Jerusalem that had been destroyed many years before, they built it in 52 days, which was awesome because they did not have all of the modern engineering and all of the tools that we have today. And so now the wall's constructed and a great revival happens with the people of God, a great spiritual awakening. Ezra is the prophet. He stands up and begins to read the books of Moses to the people, and the people have never heard the word of God. And because they've never heard the word of God, they're deeply touched in their spirit and in their soul as to what is being said to them. So all day long, Ezra is reading. People are standing for like 6 hours. They're so touched by the word of God. And the people then are really convicted about their sin and about how far they've been from God. And so they're like really upset and really like, you know, really hard on themselves and really frustrated and disappointed and whatever. And there's certainly a place for some of that in the Christian life. But Ezra also comes back to him and he sees all of their discouragement. And he says, "But guys, listen, the joy of the Lord will be your strength." And so with that context in mind, I want us to look at this really profound thought because I believe this, that if we can have a little bit more joy in our life, we can have more strength to face the stuff that we're going through. If we have more joy, then we will have more strength. More joy, more strength. And we need to let God turn our sorrows into joy. And that's what Ezra the scribe, the preacher, the prophet, was saying to the people there so many years ago. If you have a little bit more joy, you'll have more strength. But first of all, what is joy? That's a great question, isn't it? What is joy? What is it? I love to say joy is a daily dependence on Jesus that satisfies our soul. Somebody else said that it's an inner delight. It is a confidence in God that he's going to take care of the details of my life. And many times we relate joy to circumstances. In other words, if everything in my life could just kind of get ordered and if these pieces would kind of fall into place, then I would be joyful. But what I want us to see this morning is that joy is not necessarily tied to what's going on in your life. That there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is when you're feeling good about how things are going. Happenings, happiness. When the happenings are good, I feel happy. Joy is something that's deep down in your spirit and in your soul. Did you know you can be a joyful person even when your world is crumbling? You can be a joyful person when you're disappointed. You can be a joyful person when you're hurting. You can be a joyful person when you have a lot of questions about where is my life going. What is joy? Joy is that inner delight. It's that connectivity with Christ that leads us to have that daily dependence on him. Sometimes we think of joy as like a passive emotion. You know, like we just wake up one day and mysteriously joy just kind of like whoo, kind of like comes over us, you know, like, I'm going to be joyful today. I'm going to skip to the office, you know? Whoa. If you're going to be a joyful person, you have to work at it. Joy is not something that just like happens on you. Joy is something, it's a discipline. It's like a muscle that has to be exercised. When you go to the gym to exercise, you want to do so to get stronger. When you practice joy, when you commit yourself to the joy of the Lord, you're working that muscle. You're getting stronger. You're learning to depend on God. You're refusing to think about all of the things that discourage you, and instead you're thinking about the things that encourage you. That's why Paul said in Philippians, meditate on these things. Don't meditate on the things that are going to discourage you. Meditate on the things that are going to encourage you and lift your spirit and help you to rejoice in the Lord. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, John said it like this, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I mean, in other words, God wants you to have a lot of joy. Amen? Like complete joy. Like he wants your tank to be on full. Not like on empty, right? Not like just barely kind of getting by kind of joy, but that your joy may be complete. The purpose of the book of 1 John, he said, I wrote all this stuff down so that your joy would be complete. By the way, next week we're starting a study of the book of 1 John, and I want you to be back for that. But he said the purpose was that your joy would be complete, that it would be full, like that it would be abundant, right? Not that it would just, you know, be kind of barely getting by. That's why we should not be crabby Christians. Amen? Right? This is a happy church. This is where happy Christians come to church. Right? If you're going to be a crabby Christian, go to another church. Right? There's a bunch of them. I'm not going to point them out, but you figure it out, right? Go be depressed over there. We're the joyful church. Amen? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And he says, I wrote these things to you that you may be full of joy. It's your job to be joyful. Do you know that? Like, your wife can't make you joyful. Your boss can't make you joyful. Your kids can't say, Mom and Dad, you better be joyful. It's your job. That's your job. That's your job. That's why Jesus said in John 15:11, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus wants you to be joyful. Did you know that? I mean, sometimes we have this idea that like being a Christian is about being somber or being serious or being boring or whatever it may be. Man, being a follower of Jesus is a celebration. We should have joy. We should be excited about the things that God has for us. Romans 14 says it like this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about peace and about joy. He could have put a lot of other things in there. He describes it, the kingdom of God is about peace and it's about joy. It's about peace and it's about joy. Sometimes we think about joy as a self-help thing. I know people that will not open their Bible for 5 minutes to read about the joy of the Lord, but they'll go buy 3 self-help books at the bookstore, right? The greatest book about joy that has ever been written is the Bible. It's the Word of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So joy is not a temperament. It's not faking it. It's not plastering a smile on your face when you're not feeling it. It's not being super spiritual or living in some type of denial. It is an inner delight. It's when God touches your spirit and in your heart. So where does my joy come from? I mean, if joy is this great, I'd like to have some of that, somebody just thought. And where do I find this great joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. John 15, verse 4 and verse 11. Look at this. Remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, listen, if you cut a branch off of the vine will die. But if the branch stays connected to the vine, then it will have sustenance and it will have life. And he says, the way that you have joy, the way that you have peace in your life is you got to stay connected to the vine. Now, my wife loves fresh flowers. Does anybody here love to get fresh flowers? Anybody? Yeah. All right, like three of you. Okay. Come on, liars. Yeah. Gina loves fresh flowers. I went to King Supers yesterday because I was preparing for this message, and I found these tulips, and they were 99 cents. Can somebody say amen? 99-cent tulips. They were like at the back, like you had to almost know where you were going to get back there. And they were all wilted over. You can see like this one's about dead here, and I got some here on the back. I mean, they just look, you know, they're kind of turning black, and the life expectancy of these tulips is not very long, right? And so I just was being funny. I walked up. I thought I was being funny. And I walked up to the little florist lady at King Supers, and I had these wilted over tulips that looked terrible. And I said, hey, do you think my wife would like these? And I know what was going through her mind. She was like, this is one of those husbands that needs a lot of help. She reached up and grabbed one of the tulips, and it just disintegrated in her hand. And she said, these are not good. You don't want to give these to your wife, you know. And then she was trying to take them from me, like literally pull them out of my hand to throw them away. And I was like, I have to preach tomorrow with these flowers. And I grabbed them away, and I started running to the checkout line. And she said, don't bring those back. We don't refund flowers on the clearance rack. I'm going to get out of here, man, before somebody tackles me. It's obvious that these tulips have been severed from the vine. Now, my wife does a lot of great things to prolong the lifespan of some flowers like this. She knows how to cut the bottom, put bleach in it, put fertilizer, change the water regularly. We have all these little tricks at the Heller household that she pursues. And you can kind of, you know, you can get a little bit more life out of a flower if you treat it real nice. But inevitably, if it's been severed from the vine, it won't last long, right? It's going to wilt over. It's going to die. If you touch it, you know, it's going to crumble. There's not much there. However, in the same florist, they had some tulips like this, and these are potted. They're in soil, and they look great, don't they? They look robust. They look healthy. They look dynamic. And they haven't quite, you know, bloomed all the way yet, but the color is magnificent. The energy of these flowers, the lifespan of these flowers that are connected to the vine is profound. But if we ever remove the branch from the vine, we know that it will inevitably die. And what Jesus is teaching us about joy is so profound and so true today. It's as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. When our life is connected to the vine and the vine is Jesus, we will have vitality and we will have life and we will have joy and we will have strength. But whenever we get separated from the vine, things will begin to wilt and to die. And this is what he's saying. So how do we do this? Where does this joy come from? Well, God's joy is, first of all, it's unlimited. It's unlimited. You can be as joyful as you choose to be. You don't ever max out the joy. I was playing video games at Boondocks the other day, and I had one of those game cards, and I kept playing and playing and playing. But finally, my account had expired, right? I had spent all of the money on that little card that I could possibly spend. It was expired. There was nothing more that I was going to get out of it. It didn't matter how many times I kept doing this, right? The joy of Jesus, The joy of Jesus will never expire. You can be as joyful in the Lord as you choose to be. It's unlimited. You can be as joyful as you want to be. God's joy is also supernatural. I mean, it's a supernatural kind of thing. We're talking about joy in your spirit that comes from God. It's not something that comes from us. It comes from Him. That's why the scripture says in Nehemiah chapter 8, we rejoice in the Lord. It's a supernatural thing. It's a thing that comes from God. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he says here in Nehemiah here, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I mean, it comes from God. It's supernatural. The joy of the Lord. Now, if you think about it, the whole life of the Lord Jesus centered around joy. When Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, what did Mary begin to do? She sang a song. She sang a song of joy. Now, listen, an unwed teenage mother should have a lot of things to be depressed about and to be discouraged about. She begins to sing praises to God, and she is joyful, and she sings and to express this great joy in her heart. When Jesus is born, there is great joy. In the Gospel of Luke, they announced his birth by saying, good tidings of great joy. That was the commentary on the birth of Jesus. There was joy. When Jesus went to the cross, the book of Hebrews says it was for the joy that was set before him that he was crucified. How could Jesus be crucified and be joyful at the same time? He knew that the outcome of the redemption of humanity was about to transpire. At the resurrection, after the resurrection of Christ, the disciples saw Jesus in John chapter 20, and the Bible says they were overjoyed. I mean, it's safe to say that Jesus has a profound impact and effect on people. When people get around Jesus, they become joyful. And you know what? That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. I mean, he has that same kind of effect on us. With him, we will say and do things that we would never say and do otherwise, because the joy of the Lord is really supernatural. And God's joy is also imperative. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said it like this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said something similar to that in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. It's a command, right? Like, not an option. Like, you have to do this. This is part of the Christian experience, is being joyful. Rejoice in the Lord. It's an imperative. We know that joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, love, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And as that fruit grows in us, joy is a part of that. When we're connected to the vine, we begin to have joy. When we disconnect from the vine, we begin to wither and we begin to fade away. We really do. The fruit of the Spirit is an imperative. So joy comes from abiding in Christ. It really does. Jesus commanded us to abide in John 15, to stay connected. And this is how we avoid burnout and fatigue. A lot of people today are talking about burnout and fatigue. I'm so tired, whatever. Listen, if you're tired and burned out, then you need to come back and reconnect to the vine. Because when you're connected to the vine, the spiritual sustenance that you need is operating in your life. And there's times when we need to be, you know, more intentional about being connected to the vine. Absolutely, that's true. But if our spiritual life looks more like this than this, we need to come back and get reconnected to the vine. That's what we got to do. Wow. Well, how can I live this joyful life? What does it really look like? You know, when you're joyful, you can do hard things easily. When you're discouraged, easy things become hard. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, like, just even getting out of bed some days is like, so, like, why is this so hard? I'm so discouraged, you know? I don't have the, but when you have the joy of the Lord, you'll do things that are normally very difficult, but you'll do them with ease because the joy of the Lord's in your heart, you know? You just will. So how does this work? Well, we overcome courageously. That is, we overcome adversity. In James chapter 1, the writer says, "Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance." So listen, you can be joyful in a trial, not because trials are fun and good, and not because they feel good, but you're joyful because you know that it's producing endurance in your life, right? So when I'm joyful, I can overcome adversity. I can overcome adversity, and I can overcome adversity. And I may not have all the reasons, God, why am I going through this? And this wasn't my plan, Lord. We've probably all said that a little bit, haven't we? Like, God, I had my life kind of going over here, and it's going over here. How can I be joyful? God is producing endurance in my life. So my responsibility is to stay connected to the vine and to let God bring joy into my life, okay? Overcome courageously. And when you overcome the trials in your life, it feels great, doesn't it? You're like, oh, I defeated. That was awesome. God worked in me, and I had joy. Then you got more joy for the next time. That's when you become stronger. See, the trials that used to, like, totally knock you out because you've grown in faith are not a big deal now. God's taken your confidence in him to another level. That's why you're joyful. But you don't gain faith and strength if everything's easy. Adversity brings about perseverance and tenacity and growth connected to the vine. Okay, here's a second thing. Also, when we're joyful, we give generously. Did you know that giving is a byproduct of joy? When you're joyful, you want to give, okay? Now, you know, people say sometimes, why do people bring tithes, you know? I mean, there's people in our church, a lot of people in our church bring tithes to God. Amen. Praise God. It's a good thing. Why do we bring tithes? We're joyful. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says God loves a cheerful giver. God loves joyful giving. Giving is an expression of joy. Okay, when you love the Lord, when you love what God's doing in your life, you're connected to the vine, giving is just like, oh, that's normal. Why would I not give? That's kind of like the normal thing. Right? So we give generously. Now, money can make us the most miserable. I mean, think about it. I mean, when we get really fixated on money, we get depressed, we get angry, we get jealous, we get competitive. We get whatever it may be. And when we get joyful, though, then we get generous. I'll never forget, we had a single mom that we led to the Lord a few years ago, and she came to church one Sunday, and she said, "Pastor, I started tithing, and my tips started increasing." And I was like, "Well, what do you do?" She said, "Well, I'm a bartender." And I went, after I started tithing, people started tipping me more. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. I mean, great for you. Good for you. It's amazing. You know, that's God's economy. That's just the way things start to work in our lives. You know, we get joyful and we want to give, and then God starts to bless all that. It's really beautiful. How can I live joyfully? I got to devour enthusiastically. Now, this is where it gets really good right here. Look at the prophet Jeremiah. He said this, "When your words came, I ate them. They were joy to my heart's delight. For I bear your name, the Lord God Almighty." I mean, Jeremiah said, "Your word tasted good to me, Lord. I mean, I desired the word. I mean, I craved the word of God in my life. It was like food and sustenance to my soul. I love the word. I love the word." You know, when you get joyful, you start to crave God's word. Because when you're in the word, you're abiding in the vine. And the word is in you, and you're in the word, and it's beautiful. Somebody brought me some gluten-free Girl Scout cookies recently. and I hid them in my desk. I shared them with no one. I had just come off like almost a 30-day detox. It was like perfect timing. I was like, Girl Scout cookies. And I ate so many of the gluten-free Girl Scout cookies that it gave me a stomach ache, but it tasted so good. Loved it. I began to crave those. I went in my office and locked the door so that nobody else could come in and see what I was doing. Jeremiah says we should crave the Word of God like Girl Scout cookies. It should bring delight to our soul, to our spirit. John said it like this: in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not a burden. They're not burdensome. You know, we love the law of God. We love the commands of God. The commands of God are not a burden. They're guardrails for our lives. They bring protection. They bring direction. They bring blessing to us. They bring freedom to us. We also have to overflow spiritually. I mean, it just begins to ooze out of us. The Holy Spirit is God's divine empowering agent, and being filled with the Spirit has a joyful end to it. Look at this in Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, so the Holy Spirit is mentioned with hope and with joy and with peace. I mean, when the Holy Spirit is rocking in your life, when you're abiding in the vine, okay, joy just starts to come out, right? Starts to flow out of you. In Acts 13:52, it says, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So when the Holy Spirit is operating within us, and God has given us the Spirit as the divine empowering agent to help us live the Christian life. Listen, you cannot live the Christian existence apart from the Spirit of God. It doesn't work that way. That's like trying to drive your car without gas or without green energy or whatever else you have. Electricity. It doesn't work. It will go nowhere. We got to have the Spirit. Well, we also serve passionately. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Right? I mean, listen, man, when you get joyful, you want to serve the Lord. That's like the most normal thing you can do. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. We get passionate about serving. I mean, serving the Lord is not a burden. It is a blessing, right? It's an opportunity. It's like, I'm joyful. I want to serve. I'm joyful. I want to help other people. I'm joyful. I want to show up early. I'm joyful. I don't mind staying late. I'm happy to do it. If we're always burned out when we're serving the Lord, we got to ask, am I separated from the vine or am I connected to the vine? Because when I'm connected to the vine, the joy of the Lord is in me, and serving is natural. Serve the Lord with gladness, not serve the Lord with sadness, right? Thank God the Bible doesn't say serve the Lord with sadness. You know, in other words, it's such a drudgery. What a burden, you know? And I know people love to serve the Lord in different ways, and that's all good. But listen, find your lane and serve the Lord, because it's an expression of joy. It's a great gut check for us. If every time we have an opportunity to serve the Lord, we begin to wilt like these tulips, right? We got to ask, am I connected to the vine? Finally, share the good news confidently. Share confidently. Listen, when the joy of the Lord is your strength, people will look at your life and go, man, what is it with her? She's different. He's different. In our culture today, you will stand out if you are connected to the vine. You're not like everybody else. We had a lady that committed her life to Christ a few years ago in the church. And she started bringing people from her office like almost every week, and they were giving their lives to Christ. It was one of the most exciting things I'd ever seen before. And finally, Gina and I said to her, hey, tell us what's going on. She was like, I got happy in Jesus. People saw how happy I was in Jesus. They came to church with me, and they got happy in Jesus. And I was like, that's incredible. That's amazing, isn't it? We want people to see something in us. Our love for Christ should be contagious. It should be connected to the vine. It should be on public display. People should see something within our heart that makes us different. We're happy in Jesus. We're joyful. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And listen, if you've got more joy in your heart, you will have more strength to get through whatever you're going through. Let's bow together for a word of prayer.